Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Alice came into Pastor Brad's office with a light knock on the door. It was Saturday morning and Brad was getting ready for the next morning. "Come on in, Alice," Pastor Brad said. "Would you like some coffee?" Alice smiled as she entered and said, "Yes, I would love some coffee." Pastor Brad said, "Find a seat and I'll grab you a cup. Do you need cream or sugar?" She shook her head. "That's great because I don't have any here, but I do have to ask, you know." Handing Alice her cup of coffee, Pastor Brad sat down and finally asked, "So, how can I help you this morning, Alice?" Alice sipped her coffee and looked at her hands for a moment. "I have some questions, Pastor, and I hope that you can help me begin to find some answers. I don't know how much you know about my past, Pastor. I've been married 3 times and widowed 3 times. I have moments when I believe that I am the unluckiest person around." As Alice took another sip of coffee, Brad responded, "I didn't know that, and you have my deep sympathy. I can't imagine how hard it must have been every time it happened. I'm so sorry." "Thank you, Pastor," Alice said. "It was hard every time, and it still is, if I'm honest. My first husband was a soldier. We married right out of college. He was an officer who was killed with his entire squad by an IED. That was hard because it was so sudden, but he was a soldier. And I thought that I should be okay with it because we knew something like that might happen. I married again 5 years later, and my husband died of cancer that had moved throughout his entire body before it was diagnosed. He hadn't felt right for a while, and after he died, people who had known him, they blamed me for not getting him to go to a doctor sooner. But if they really knew him, they knew he was never going to go to the doctor until the last possible moment. My third husband was actually a nurse caring for my second husband. We hit it off and we took it really, really slow. He was hit by a drunk driver 2 months after our marriage. It has been awful. Pastor Brad again said, "I'm so sorry. And thank you for trusting me with the story. I can see how you might feel like the unluckiest person." Alice nodded again. "And I can only wonder what your question might be, but there's one that's easy for me to answer. And that is that God is not doing this to you. You are not being punished, and neither were any of your husbands. That's not how God works." "Thank you, Pastor," she said. "It's not my question, not really, but it is good to hear you say that. I've always kind of felt that way, but to have you say it, that's a really good thing." She continued, "No, my questions begin with, have I gotten all my tries? I have been married 3 times. Do I get to try again? Should I try again? There are days when I feel like that woman in the Bible married to 7 brothers. Whose wife will I be? Will I be a wife at the end of it all?" Now, some of these questions arise because I'm seeing a wonderful man. We've been dating for a couple of years now. He's divorced and has a daughter who is 13. We're still acclimating. I don't know if I should hope for something or if I should just jump ship because I know that I'm going to be turning into the wicked stepmother soon. That's just the beginning of the questions, but let's say that's a good start. "Wow, that is a good start," Pastor Brad smiled. "Part of me wants to say that only you can know if you've gotten all of your tries. Does this relationship that you're in bring you joy, peace, happiness?" Alice gives a big, enthusiastic nod. Brad continues saying, then I would say you should pursue this relationship and see where it goes. And by the way, 13-year-olds will find any parent or any adult barely tolerable on the best day. I know because my son is the same age. As to feeling guilt or responsibility for what has happened through the years, let me remind you that we have a Redeemer. Now, that's a real churchy kind of word that we don't use too often outside of church or theology. But I think it's a great word, because a Redeemer is someone who stands up for you and takes your side. A Redeemer is someone who pays your debt, sets you free from your prison, your slavery, your despair. We have a Redeemer in Jesus. The love of God in Jesus frees us and gives us a chance to live. That's actually one of the things that Jesus is doing in the conversation with the Sadducees that you were talking about. The Sadducees asked Jesus this made-up what-if question about a woman married to 7 brothers. They were trying to discredit Jesus and make him look bad in front of the crowds. You see, the Sadducees didn't believe in resurrection. They were wealthy and aristocratic, and they were connected to the temple, and they only believed what they found in the Torah, the first 5 books of the Old Testament. They asked Jesus whose wife that she would be when she died, but you know that. Jesus reminds the Sadducees that marriage here on earth lasts until death parts us. And after the resurrection, our lives are so changed that we don't know what happens. We will be with those we love, but that life is transformed by God's love after the resurrection. Jesus also then tells the Sadducees that you actually can find the resurrection in the Torah. As God tells Moses at the burning bush, that he is the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Is, not was, not used to be, but is. Jesus says, in God they are alive. In God's love they are alive, because God's love never dies. So Alice, the love that you had for your husbands, has that stopped? Not at all, Pastor, she said. I love them and I miss them, and that's actually part of the difficulty that I'm having. Brad just smiled and said, love never dies. Not yours for your husbands or theirs for you, not mine for my grandma or anyone else like that, but especially not God's love for any of them or any of us. The love of God surrounds us all. And part of God's dream is that we have life and we have it abundantly. After the resurrection, that life will be different, but right now, in the life we get to live now, joy and abundance, love for neighbor and stranger, even enemy and friend, that's what life is all about. I am really happy that you have found someone to share your time and perhaps your life with. I'm excited for the possibilities. We have a Redeemer in Jesus who stands by us, stands behind us, and is for us. Jesus paid our debts, and in his dying and rising, we are freed from our sin and our selfishness, our self-doubt and our guilt. That same death and resurrection shows us that God's love never dies. We are surrounded by the love of God and also by those who have gone before us. I hope that begins to answer some of those questions for you. Oh, it does. Thank you. Thank you for showing me the love and the hope that faith can give to us. I'm no longer dreading the future or really feeling guilty about the past. And I promise, Pastor, I will bring Rick to church some Sunday so that you can meet him. But I might have some more questions about 13-year-olds. Anytime, smiled Pastor Brad as Alice stood up and left his office. We have a redeemer. Jesus has paid our debts and set us free. And it's not because we've earned it, but that's how much we are loved. And that love from God never dies. We can count on it. Even when the world looks bleak around us, Jesus has called us to follow him so that we might bring that love to all around us. So may we all find appropriate ways to share that love and compassion as we go into the world with hope. Amen.